This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Are you there, Sam?
Yep, hang on, I'm just turning that on.
Is our guest ready?
Yep, I've got the music ready.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep, sounds great.
Cool. Otago Access Radio, in partnership with Otago Polytechnic, brings you Blowing Bubbles.
Blowing Bubbles brings you positive conversations with people in their bubbles around the world.
We're curious about how people are finding new ways of life, being and problem solving. Every Wednesday, the Sustainable Lens team of Samuel Mann and Mawera Karatai reach out from our bubbles to chat with interesting and positive people around the world.
Broadcast on Otago Access Radio, 105.4 FM in Dunedin, and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz.
Bringing joy, connection, kindness and peace in all the days ahead.
Welcome to Blowing Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. I'm Samuel Mann in Otipoti, Dunedin, and I am joined still in Otutahi, Christchurch, by Dr. Mawera Karatai. Kia ora, Mawera.
Kia ora, Sam. How's it going?
It's going very well indeed. You've been at the conference that I was supposed to be at.
Yes, today was Indigenous Day, so some pretty cool Indigenous folk from around the globe in the same place in the same time talking about climate change strategies and adaptation. And it was really, I found it really interesting because, you know, like when you come from practice and then into academia, you have a really different perspective than if you've just been in academia. And so I find I found that quite it's very obvious in this conference, which is kind of interesting for me.
What's your takeaway from Indigenous perspectives of climate change?
I think there's some that as tangata Māori, we are a long way down the track. And a lot of other Indigenous folk wish that they were as far down the track as what we are. But I think that there's a lot of reasons for that, one being that we are a single source people who are quite united instead, and we speak one language and we've got one history. And so we have a huge advantage in that way, but we also really have embraced Western science in conjunction with Mātauranga, and Western science has also embraced Mātauranga, so we're just lucky. Yeah.
I look forward to hearing more about it. And who are we introducing today?
I am very pleased to introduce one of our international exchange students, Linda Friedwagner. Welcome, Linda. It is wonderful to have you with us today.
Hi, everyone. I'm so nice to be here today. And I'm very excited and looking forward to this podcast episode.
Welcome, Linda. Where did you grow up, Linda?
I grew up in Austria, particularly in Upper Austria. It's a state of Austria, and I grew up in a very small town there. And to me, it was the perfect place to spend my childhood there because it's next to a big city, so 10 minutes away, but you're still in the countryside with a big garden and everyone knows each other. And also there are a lot of mountains to ski, but also lakes to swim. And I think it's pretty similar to New Zealand, I would say.
When you said Upper Austria, that's what I imagined that you meant, Upper Mountain. And then you eventually said, yes, there are mountains there.
No, unfortunately not.
So what did you want to be when you grew up?
That's a tough one. But as far as I can remember, I wanted to be a ballerina. So I used to be... Dancing used to be my hobby or sports for about 9 years or so when I was little. And so that was my dream job because I love dancing and to be on the stage and the costumes. But that changed very quickly when I grew older.
And what did you decide then?
Then I decided, or with finishing high school, I decided to study international business administration. And now I'm doing my master's in marketing. So I want to do my career in marketing, hopefully.
Cool. And you're here doing an exchange? How long are you here for?
Yes, exactly. So I've been here for 3 months now, so since July. And it's actually my last week here in Dunedin. But I'm going to Australia afterwards, and then my family is also coming to visit, and we're doing a road trip in New Zealand, and it's been absolutely amazing so far.
Awesome. And of all of the things that the university offers, you decided to do whatever it's called, contemporary issues and sustainable something. I should remember what it is, but I'm sorry, I can't.
Practice.
I'll practice at the end. Oh, good. So what... Why did you choose that one out of all of the menu of offerings?
Since I'm a marketing student, I've done a lot of marketing courses already, and I could choose a lot of different courses here when I'm abroad, and I don't have any sustainability courses at home, so I thought that would be something new, and I don't know a lot about this topic. Because it's not as big at our home university, so thought bringing a little bit newer perspective also from the other side of the world. So yeah, and I really enjoyed this class, I have to say.
Awesome. Let's take the first of your music choices. Let's have Coldplay, Viva La Vida. Why this one?
I just love Coldplay. I've been at their concert 2 times now, and it's my absolute favorite band, and this song is just great, and I think everyone knows it, and I don't know a single person who doesn't like this song, so yeah.
You just need to keep out of the way of the kiss cam.
Missionaries in a
Linda, in all the countries you could have gone to in the world, why did you choose this one?
That's a tough one. We have a lot of partner universities from our home university, but I've already been to the States in my bachelor's, so I thought I'm gonna do a whole different side of the world. And I didn't want to stay in Europe, because when do you have the chance to live on the other side of the world? And I just love the nature, and I've seen so many pictures and videos of New Zealand, and it's just stunning. And now that I'm here, I completely agree with everyone, and it's such an amazing nature. And I don't know, it's, I haven't met anyone who's been in New Zealand, and now I can tell everyone in Austria how amazing New Zealand is. And hopefully everyone visits your amazing country.
We need to put you in charge of marketing for New Zealand.
Yes, I could do that.
One of the questions that we've asked pretty much everyone, and I think I didn't ask one or two people because we got so busy talking about other things, but everyone I've asked, in your life, there have been many people who have been your role models. And so I'm curious, who have been your role models and what did they teach you?
I would say my brother. So he's 8 years older than me. When I was little, I already was looking up to him because he's so hardworking and he has so much drive and motivation in his life, and he is very successful, but in a very subtle and humble way. And I really admire this characteristic of people, I would say. And we have the same hobbies, so I can also look up to him for this, and he's in the same job area. I think he's very good at work-life balance. And sometimes when people are successful, they forget how amazing life can be. And I really admire this, that he travels so much and he still works a lot and has a lot of fun. And he still keeps his friends from kindergarten. And I think personality traits like this are going away sometimes when people grow up. So I really admire this.
Yeah. What's your brother's name?
Fabian, actually.
Okay. Fabian, good work. You have been a great role model for your sister. High five. Well, virtual high five. So if you think about the kind of characteristics that Fabian has role model, do you think that those will be characteristics that you take into your own professional practice once you go into the working world?
I think so. Sometimes it's a little bit hard, I have to say, because you want to keep up with him sometimes, but not everything is working out how I want it to be. But he still says it's okay and you don't need to stress yourself that much all the time. And also, as I already mentioned, just a work-life balance is important, and that you don't forget about your private life, even though you're working. So I would really say this is important to me.
Marketing is this very broad field. Where in marketing do you want to go?
That's a very good question, and I've been asking myself that for the last month, I would say. Right now, I mean, I've been working in the social media marketing and influencer marketing in the last years sometimes, but now I want to shift my focus rather on the more strategic side of marketing, maybe also in the sustainability area. So I think I'm just gonna finish up my master's next year and then really try to think what I'm really interested in, because I think especially marketing it's super important that you're passionate about the company or the products or the organization itself. because you're so much more passionate about what you're marketing and more creative. And yeah, so I really feel like that's super important here.
Now, speaking of passionate, you have recorded a great podcast. Can you tell us about who is the person that you interviewed and why did you choose them?
Yes, so my podcast is about sustainability in the consulting industry, and I had the opportunity to do it with my best friend. His name is also Fabian, and it was a lot of fun, I also have to say. And yeah, I hope it was very insightful. For me, it was, so hopefully for the listeners as well.
Great, let's have a listen.
Welcome everyone to a new episode on Blowing Bubbles. I'm your host for this episode, Linda. I'm an exchange student from Austria and currently studying at the University of Otago, and let me tell you, it's been absolutely amazing to study here in New Zealand so far. But enough about me, today we will be diving into a sector you might not immediately think of when it comes to sustainability, consulting. Consultants are known for traveling often, advising global clients, and shaping business strategies. But how can a business model that relies on frequent air travel still be aligned with sustainability principles? That's the journey we will explore together. Before we bring in our guest, let's set the stage with a bit of theory. Sustainability in business today isn't just about reducing harm. It's about creating systems that are regenerative, resilient, and socially just. Two recent studies highlight the role of consultants here. Miller and colleagues in the paper Decarbonizing Business Travel show that consulting and other knowledge-intensive industries generate a large footprint through travel. They found that firms with explicit travel emission targets cut almost 50% of their emissions, compared to just 28% for those without. Practical tools like approval thresholds or digital-first meeting policies make a real difference. This shows sustainability in consulting is not only about client advice, but also about how consultants deliver their own work. Meanwhile, in the paper, consultants as discrete corporate change agents from Gond, Bre, and Missoni in 2024 describe how consultants influence organizations quietly from the outset in. They identify roles like engineers, issue translators, and soft regulators, noting that consultants can empower internal sustainability champions, but also risk overshadowing them. This highlights both the potential and the complexity of consulting in driving change. So, taken together, these studies show us that consulting is challenged by its own footprint, but also positioned to be a key driver of sustainability, often working in subtle but powerful ways. And now let's zoom out and look at the industry today. According to a recent consultancy.uk analysis, consulting firms that set explicit travel reduction goals have achieved around 48% cut in emissions since 2019, compared to 28% for firms without such goals. 17 consultancies were highlighted as leaders in the shift. At the same time, the Financial Times reports that the demand for sustainability consulting is growing fast, especially in the UK, with spending up about 6% in 2024. This surge is driven by new regulations like the EU's Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive, which pushes firms to measure and disclose their ESG risks. So consulting is playing a dual role. Internally, many firms are rethinking their own footprints. Externally, they're helping clients navigate complex sustainability pressures. And that dual role makes the sector both fascinating and complex. And it's exactly why I wanted to hear from someone working inside the industry. And now I'm delighted to welcome today's guest. Fabian is a consultant with international experience working on projects that span industries and countries. He has seen firsthand how sustainability conversations are evolving inside the consulting world. Fabian, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me, Linda. As a weekly listener, I'm delighted to be on your podcast today.
So, to start on a lighter note, what or where is your happy place? Where do you feel most at ease or inspired?
I would say probably anywhere in the outdoors, but particularly in the mountains. I really feel at peace during a trail run in the Alps or when skiing down a slope. It's just magnificent.
That's a great one. I love that. I would probably agree with you here. And before we jump into sustainability, I would love for listeners to get to know you a little bit better. What was your journey like to becoming a consultant? A lot of business students, like me, are dreaming of the job. So how did you get to where you are today?
Well, I took a very typical path towards consulting. I studied business administration with a focus on international business and strategic management. So there was already a strong focus there on consulting work, so to say, on strategic thinking. I lived in three countries on three continents, which really helped me to broaden my perspectives and my horizon. I did some internships in venture capital, in finance and controlling, also already in consulting. And then after finishing my second master degree, I decided to go into consulting. Luckily, I managed to get an offer at one of the top consultancies in the world, and where I am still here today, almost 6 years later.
Wow, that's very impressive, I have to say. I feel like that mindset will really inspire my listeners. Since this is a podcast on sustainability, I'm really interested on your thoughts on sustainability, of course. So thinking about your own journey, was there a specific moment in your life or career that really shaped your views on sustainability? And how have those views changed over time, maybe?
Well, as already said, as I love to disconnect from work by spending time in nature, and particularly in the mountains, you cannot unsee climate change these days. When I was a kid, the lake next to our house was frozen almost every year. You could even ski on a small hill next door, basically. Nowadays, this is almost impossible, and only in 1 out of 10 winters, I would say, you could still do that. At the same time, living in a large city in Europe in July and August is becoming more and more challenging, with one heat wave after another. And as I realized how climate change affected basically my own life, I decided for myself that I would love to do something meaningful that ideally even helps the environment. And that's probably why I ultimately ended up advising clients in the energy industry on how to manage the challenges of the energy transition.
I really feel you. I'm also from Europe, and those heat waves are killing me every summer. So it also makes me kind of sad hearing that. But still, it shows how personal experiences can really shape professional values. So with that perspective in mind, why do you think sustainability is particularly important in the consulting industry today?
Well, that's a good one. I mean, despite the election of Trump, which put climate change a bit more on the sideline, I would say, many companies across all diverse sectors are still trying to decarbonize, you know, yet in a financially more reasonable way without major losses. So that's the ultimate goal of many corporates. And in our company, next to AI, climate and sustainability is still one of our moonshot topics where we invest a lot of money and also offer a lot of pro bono work to our clients. And a majority of our workforce, probably you know that, is also in their 20s and 30s, so generations that are particularly caring about sustainability and climate change. So overall, I truly believe that sustainability is a key pillar of future growth for consultancies, but it is also our responsibility to support clients on their sustainability agendas. So consultants are known as CEO whisperers and can thus shape the agendas of large corporations and can support them on their decarbonization paths. And while this is all very focused on clients, the consulting industry itself still has a long way to go to reduce their own emissions. I, for example, I had over 200 flights in the last 2.5 years, which sounds crazy to me when I think about it, but I just recently counted all the flights I had. I'm kind of feeling embarrassed to say that.
Wow, over 200 flights is really a lot, that I really have to admit. I'm impressed, I have to say, kind of. But that really ties well with what I found in my research as well. So Miller and colleagues show that travel is a major sustainability challenge in consulting, while Gond and colleagues remind us in their paper that consultants also act as discrete change agents.
Well, that's where I have to jump in, and that's basically what I wanted to say earlier, that as consultants are often known as CEO whisperers, we can shape the agendas of large corporations. So I think this is exactly what's meant here with discrete change agents. I really like this expression, so I think this summarizes that very well. And as you stated, you're impressed by the number of flights ahead. I hope you're impressed in a negative way, because I feel a bit of embarrassed, as I already said.
Yeah, no, definitely in a kind of negative way, I would say. Yeah, but together, also these findings, what you said, these show us why sustainability is such a core issue in this industry. So it's both about how consultants work and how they influence others. So yeah, I definitely agree with you. But now let's talk about the consulting industry itself. Professional services like consulting are rarely discussed in sustainability conversations, but they have significant and indirect footprints. So many people imagine consultants like flying across the world for different client meetings. So traveling is a big part of consulting, as you said. But how does the industry balance this reality with the pressure to be more sustainable?
Well, that's exactly the point where we need to dig a bit deeper. I think talking about the consulting industry itself, our CO2 footprint is indeed still an issue. While we are taking substantial measures, including incentives for train rides, virtual meetings and co-locations at locations where most people are actually home-based, so that overall as a team we are reducing our CO2 footprint, ideally, there's still a long way to go. I think we can dig a bit deeper into that later. But I mean, we have reduced our CO2 emissions by roughly 50% since 2018. I think this is a good number. There's still a way to go. And I think that's exactly what we should focus on in the next minute.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you here. But as you said, it's still 50% less CO2 emissions. So that's something I would say. But have you personally faced situations where you had to choose between sustainability and client satisfaction? And how did you handle that? I'm very curious about that.
Well, I definitely had these situations, especially when it comes to selling new projects. Clients want the consultants often to be on site, and our partners therefore insist very heavily on flying to the client site. I, for example, once had to take 3 airplanes within 24 hours just to be on site for a 1-hour presentation. I mean, don't think about the CO2 footprint here. It's just insane. I mean, I tried to push back, but in the end, I had to fly no matter what. While at other clients, for example, we found a very reasonable model to be only every other week at the client site. So the client wanted us to be on site, but we said, okay, can we do like every other week so we can reduce our CO2 emissions? And they were actually quite happy about that, as they also often prefer to stay or spend some time in home office, right? And in general, I would say thanks to COVID, our working style has changed substantially in consulting. It's way more hybrid these days, switching between co-locating in our offices, at the client side, or in fully remote setups. For example, right now I have a project lasting for 4 weeks that is fully remote. So there are many ways how the setup can work. So overall, this is one of the main levers, this more hybrid thinking, so to say, that we could reduce our emissions by roughly 50% over the last years.
To me, catching 3 planes in 24 hours sounds crazy. But overall, would you say that client expectations have shifted towards more virtual engagement in general?
Well, I have to say it really depends on the client. So it depends, a very typical consulting answer. Sorry for that. But in general, I would say yes. So on my last project, for example, the client didn't want us on site at all because they also spent 4 days every week in home office. So they had a very generous working from home policy, and therefore they were not very keen on going to the office just to meet some consultants. So employees have often no interest in meeting in person since they prefer to stay at home. And in my opinion, a balance needs to be found here, right? Working together on super critical, highly strategic topics and then never meeting in person for 3 months makes it very transactional and also sometimes inefficient. So I think good collaboration also requires good relationships. And for that, some in-person meetings are crucial.
Yeah, I totally understand. And I think a lot of people also from other industries would agree with you here that sometimes working together in person is much easier. And yeah, when it comes to ensuring that sustainability is more than just a buzzword, what practical steps can consulting firms take? Are we talking about reducing travel, using certifications, measuring footprints, or something else entirely?
Well, I think you already mentioned a couple of good points, like measuring footprints. We already have a CO2 emission dashboard that tracks emissions of every flight, hotel night that myself or my team actually takes or consumes. And then you are actually even getting ranked across your peers. So I'm a project leader and I get ranked with all other project leaders globally on CO2 emissions. And I see if I'm in the bottom 10 or bottom 10%. Unfortunately, there's a dashboard, but there are no consequences yet. It doesn't matter if you're in the top or bottom 10%. So I think there's still a way to go, but it's a good starting point, right? And as soon as you start tracking, you actually get transparency. So I think transparency is always a first good starting point. We are actually also taking other measures. So internal events need to be at locations that can be reached by bus or train. And below, just to talk about other measures, below 4 hours train ride distance, it is also highly encouraged to take the train instead of flying. You even get 50 euros in cash to take the train to compensate for airline miles benefit programs, for example, which is a huge incentive for consultants.
Oh, okay. There are a few things. Also, I really like the CO2 emission dashboard, I have to admit. That sounds really helpful. But let's take one step back and rather focus on your client work instead of focusing on the CO2 footprint of consultancies. Could you share a success story with us where sustainable practices had a clear positive impact, either within your team or in a project with a client?
Yes, actually happy to do so. Because I honestly think supporting our clients is definitely the bigger lever for consultants to positively contribute to sustainability. I mean, we still have to reduce our own emissions, but doing client work and helping them to decarbonize is just the way to go and where we can really have a lasting impact. And since I'm working in the energy industry, I have set up, for example, a hydrogen department with over 20 employees that focus on replacing fossil fuels through green hydrogen. So this is a huge impact on the climate. Or I have supported a hydrogen startup raising a 200 million funding round. And there are more examples, but just that you get a feeling for our work that we are doing.
Fabian, this has been such an insightful conversation. To wrap up, let me ask you one last question. What is one simple thing that people listening to this podcast can do in their daily lives to live more sustainably?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me, Linda. I think you asked many very good questions, and some of them were quite tough to answer, I have to say. And coming back to your last question now, I think this is a very individual answer, right? I mean, some people avoid eating meat, others avoid taking airplanes, while others are putting a solar plant on their roof, right? They all contribute to reduce their emissions. And I usually prefer to calculate the impact of each of such measures. And then the second question for me is, which of these savings can I actually easily integrate into my daily life? Let's start with a small step. And then after the first step, I take the next one. And it's an incremental and often not a revolutionary change, right? So, I mean, you can change everything from one day to the other, But I mean, this comes with a lot of restrictions to your own life. So I think it's really a balance you have to find and take one step after another.
That's a wonderful takeaway. Thank you again for sharing your perspective and giving us such a real inside look at what sustainability means in the consulting industry.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed the conversation, Linda.
Thank you for tuning in. And a special thanks to Fabian for sharing his insights and to you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with a friend or on social media. Until next time, I'm Linda, and this was a podcast about sustainability in the consulting industry.
Linda, that was a wonderful interview. What was your big takeaway from it?
My key takeaway was probably that the consulting industry itself is trying to become more sustainable, because a lot of my friends who work in consulting are always telling me how much they travel, and the stereotype of this industry is that they're flying at least once a week and or twice or more often, as we heard in the podcast. But what we don't talk about is that they are trying to reduce it, and they are trying to become more sustainable, and they have dashboards how to measure it. So they really are aware of their problem, I would say. And what you also forget sometimes is that they are helping their clients to become more sustainable. So I think sometimes you need to get rid of the all or nothing mindset. So just because you're not sustainable in every single field doesn't mean you don't need to be sustainable in one field. So they're helping their clients to become more sustainable, to become more aware of what they can do. And I think they're also using their work for their own company, I would say. So I think it's a mindset that people could also implement in their daily lives, that it's not always the all or nothing mindset.
Because it's far better to do something and then do nothing.
Yes, exactly. And that's what I want.
Little changes, a bunch of little changes where you make that commitment to change in your own life, and then you start being an inspiration to other people to make the change in theirs, that all counts for something. Enduring change is very rarely instant, unless there's some reason for it that's catastrophic. Some massive catastrophic reason will drive perhaps an enduring change. But then I think of COVID, when we all stayed home and we all said, oh my gosh, this is such a good reminder that actually we need to live our lives better. And then the lockdown finished and we went straight back to working like crazy again. So an enduring change is sometimes a slower change over time.
Yes, exactly. And also that even though it's maybe just one project and one consultant who is not flying 1 week or 2 weeks, it still adds up, and you can see the bigger picture. And over the year or over just month, I would say, you can see a difference. And if it's one person in one consultancy, but maybe there are 100 consultancies, then there are 100 people less flying around the world. So it definitely contributes to climate change and to be more sustainable.
I think we need to be looking for opportunities, not just to do little things that add up. We need to be looking for little things that multiply, is my rider to that observation. Linda, you're studying marketing.
Yes.
How much sustainability did you get in your undergrad? Well, you didn't do undergrad marketing, but in your previous marketing courses?
Basically nothing, I would say, which is very sad. And I think something needs to change there, because maybe it hasn't been a topic 20 years ago, or not such a big topic, but it's definitely now. And I feel like also universities and schools need to rethink their curriculum.
So now you've done Joe and Muira's course. What would you like to see added to your previous marketing education?
I would say just maybe it's also just an elective that people can take. It doesn't have to be mandatory, but just to get some more insights. And I feel like consumers are a big part of our society and where we can see change in the future, not just the companies or the governments. And if companies can target consumers with more sustainability and raise awareness, it definitely can change something. And we can see that in some marketing campaigns, or I myself can see it if I see a campaign which raises awareness about sustainability. It can change things for you, and I believe it's not just me, and it would change the consumption of a lot of people, in my opinion. So I think you can add a lot of topics that Joe and Mavera talked about in the course in our classes.
I know I'm over-characterizing, but if we characterize the basis of marketing being helping companies sell more stuff, how do we turn that around? Can we turn it around to marketing can help companies sell less stuff? And if so, why would they employ marketing people?
Yes, that's a very good question. But it can definitely work. We've seen that with a campaign, I think it was years ago, of Patagonia, where they had a big campaign in the New York Times, I believe, where they promoted actually that people shouldn't buy their stuff on Black Friday. And it definitely worked. I mean, Patagonia is one of the biggest brands nowadays, and everyone wants to wear it, and they don't promote overconsumption. So I believe a lot of other companies could do that. And if a lot of, especially in the FMCG industry, a lot of multi-packs and buy one, get two packages, maybe that's not the way to go anymore. So I think there's a lot of opportunity to rethink our consumption and how you promote it.
Linda, I have some questions to end the show. Not very much time. So what is the biggest success you've had in the last couple of years?
Wow, okay. A tough one. But I think one of my goals I had, it was to go on exchange again. And now, as we can see, I'm here in New Zealand, and it was a big goal of mine to be somewhere completely else and far away from Europe. And it's not the easiest thing to get a spot here, or in general to get an exchange from my home university. So I'm very proud of that, but also that I'm almost finishing my master's degree at a lot of different internships. And I think just to be here right now where I'm sitting in Dunedin is one of my biggest successions.
Awesome. What is your superpower?
My superpower is probably that I'm most of the time, probably 99%, in a good mood, and I'm always laughing, and I can make everyone smile. And yeah, I think I love when people can do that when I'm not very happy. So I'm trying to do that as well.
So what motivates you? What gets you out of bed in the morning?
I would say to be a bit better every single day. So it sounds very cheesy, but we only have this one life, and I think we need to make the most out of it. And once you try new things and work hard on you, you actually see what you or your body is capable of, and I think that's just fascinating and is really motivating me. So just to get the chance to be 1% better every single day and work on yourself.
And lastly, do you have any advice for our listeners?
Maybe to don't be too hard on yourself and take things or take one thing at a time and go step by step if you feel overwhelmed. And you don't need the all or nothing attitude. I live by that, and it makes life way harder. So just take every day step by step.
Thank you for that. Mawira.
Linda, having you in our class has been joyful, and I'm very thankful that you chose Otago University and our paper. Of all the papers you could have chose, you chose ours, and I'm just thankful that you did. Thank you for your positivity in the class and for your willingness to share your different perspective, because, you know, especially we a lot of Kiwi learners haven't had the experience of being in that global space that you've had, and your curiosity is infectious. I see you ask a lot of questions and a lot of good things come of that. Thank you for joining us today. Whatever happens when you return home in your work, may it bring you joy and all the best for the future.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed this episode and the class. And yes.
Awesome. We are going out to Clang Carousel. In English, it's Sun Doesn't Shine. Don't Shine. Son Taz. Son. Yep. Son. Why this one?
Now that spring is around the corner here and summer is starting soon, this is my favorite song during the summer, and I've listened to it over years, and it still makes me happy every single time I listen to it, and it think it gives a lot of summer vibes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're most welcome. We wish you a very happy night.
Thank you. You too.
I'll see you Enjoy in class this week. You yes. too.
Bye.
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 I've walked through the valleys of the wilderness in time, only to find out that you have love in places I can't describe. Yeah. I need you. It's the sunrise. I just wanted to let you know I love you. Don't ever let go, 'cause the sun don't shine when you're not around mine. And I could never be without you.
To Blowing Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. Brought to you by the Sustainable Lens team, which is brought to you by the University of Otago. We are broadcast on Otago Access Radio every Wednesday afternoon at 3 and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz. Today, Linda Friedwagner brought her contribution for Coming Up For Air. With Mawira Karatai, I'm Samuel Mann. That was Blowing Bubbles. We hope you enjoyed the show. Mati wā.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.